Celtic Connections, the show with the Catholic view of what's happening right now in Great Britain, in Ireland, and across Europe. Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Broadcasting from Ireland.
Hello and welcome to Celtic Connections. I'm Cathy Sinnott and I'm coming to you from Cork in Ireland. For over 800 years, the Irish have suffered to one degree or another under British rule. And for the last 100 years, Ireland has been divided. The South is an independent republic and the North continues to be under British jurisdiction. Through history, both the British and Irish on the island of Ireland have been in conflict. But thankfully, through the Good Friday Agreement in 1998, there's been a relative peace on the island. Because of the Christian faith of the people, both North and South, new secularist ideologies involving imposition of abortion and gender politics had, up until recently, been kept at bay. But sadly, in the last few years, what was once known as Catholic Ireland has embraced both liberalized abortion and so-called same-sex marriage. And they did this in two referenda, making us the only country in the world to impose these by popular vote. Such has been the rapid secularization of the Irish that even our own children are now victims of sanctioned murder, it would seem, by consent of her own people and her own government. In the North, the population continues to reject the culture of death, but the Northern Ireland executive or government was suspended over 2 years ago, and this has left the province in a vacuum which is being exploited by British MPs in Westminster. British MPs, members of Parliament, have schemed to impose an extreme form of abortion on the people of Northern Ireland against the clear democratic wishes of her people. They've been aided by Sinn Féin, a self-identified Irish Republican Party, who have collaborated with British MPs to impose this attack on Irish children and on their vulnerable mothers, as well as on marriage. Such a blatant betrayal of the Irish people by Irish Republicans is unprecedented in Irish history. If Northern Ireland's government isn't restored by the 21st of October, and this imposition is not overturned, it will become law. So pro-abortion Sinn Féin are the partner in the Northern Ireland executive with the pro-life DUP party. All Sinn Féin has to do is do nothing, to refuse to go into government with the DUP, and their betrayal of the Irish people and the future generations of Irish babies will be complete. We urgently need to pray. And this is the main message we have for you in today's show. Please pray. We'll be hearing from Bernie Smith from the Northern Irish pro-life group Precious Life, speaking at the Rally for Life in Dublin a few weeks ago. We'll hear from Dr. Trevor Hayes, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist from one of the main Catholic hospitals in Ireland that has been charged by the Irish government to implement abortion. We'll also have a message from Bishop John Keenan of Paisley, Scotland, who will lead us in an urgent call to prayer. But first, Paul Macquarie talked to prominent Belfast priest Father Patrick McCafferty, who will help us to understand, from a spiritual perspective, what's happening in our beloved Ireland. Paul began by asking Father Paddy how serious he believes the situation is in Northern Ireland.
Undoubtedly very grave, because they are railroading, steamrolling this through. They are determined, and let's face reality. We're dealing with extremely powerful forces in the media and in the political establishment who are determined to impose this abortion and same-sex marriage on this part of the world where the people have not been consulted, and the political MPs there in Westminster all are against it. And it's astonishing. It's quite breathtaking what they're engaged in. And they're trying to do it as quickly as possible before anyone can rally their resources or gather themselves to oppose them. And it's diabolical. And I use that word in its true form, true sense, diabolical.
It is, Father. And when we hear information about this, your average person in Northern Ireland, we hear in the news the language now is reproductive rights.
Yes.
And we hear about equal marriage.
They will present abortion in terms of so-called compassion, which is an utter perversion of the word compassion. They will talk about healthcare, and abortion is the opposite of healthcare, and that's what we're up against. It's very grave, and it's a very deliberate situation. This has been orchestrated quite deliberately to catch everyone off guard. That's what they've been doing. And they have succeeded to a certain extent, as you said. This came out of the blue, you know?
That's right. Father, I don't know if you heard, but the March for Life in London, back in March, Bishop John Keenan from the Paisley Diocese spoke, and he said, let's realise, and he was quoting Ephesians, that
yeah.
we're wrestling against powers and principalities.
Of the darkness.
A darkness.
Yeah.
And he reminded everyone of this.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're trying to win by reason,
yeah.
you know, sitting down with the devil and think that he's going to not lie and not change the goalposts
exactly.
or bait you along.
Exactly.
And obviously this battle, a lot of times in Ireland, has been trying to win by reason.
Yes. Well, I believe our greatest weapon, of course, is our spiritual weapons, and that we should be praying. Of course, it goes without saying, first and foremost. And that our prayer also should be for the conversion of those who believe that abortion is acceptable. Those promoting abortion, those advocating for it, for their conversion, that God will enlighten them to see the evil that abortion is, and that they will be converted. Pray for their conversion. And our greatest weapons are spiritual. And the psalmist says, do not fret on account of the wicked. You're dealing with the wicked. This is the wicked. And the wicked one, the one that the Lord has identified as the father of lies and the murderer since the beginning, the enemy of the human race. This is his work. There's no question about that. And his craft and power and malice are at work. And we have stronger weapons. And I've always said to the people anyway here that evil will never prevail, even when it seems to. Even if they get their way, let's face reality, they could get their way. They could. They got their way in the South. They got that awful repeal through. And that happened. But they will never win. They can't win. They are doomed before they even start, because they're dealing in death. And abortion is death. Abortion is evil. And evil contains within itself the seeds of its own destruction. Ultimately, it will implode on them. Death is to be swallowed up, we know, and is in the process of being defeated, and has been defeated already at the cross. So we don't have to be too perturbed. We have to fight, we have to do what we can, and we have to keep bearing witness, and we will. And we will never, as they would tell us, to mind our own business about abortion. We never will do that, whether they like it or not. We will continue to oppose it, to pray against it, to dissuade people from it, to bear witness that it is evil and that it is a grave, intrinsic evil by its very nature, inside out, whatever way you look at it. So we're never going to give up. We're going to keep fighting, no matter what they do. Whether they win or not, they will not win. It's a shallow victory. It's a Pyrrhic victory for them, always. And they're never going to prevail. They will not be allowed to prevail. And as God has said himself, that the wicked shall not prevail. Do not fret, God says, on account of the wicked.
Well, Father, you were talking about the media a minute ago. And here we have the secular media. We don't really have Christian media in Northern mm-hmm. Ireland. Mm-hmm. Never mind Catholic media.
No.
24/7 on mm-hmm. television, on
yes.
radio, on
yes.
the internet. This yes. constant sort of new ethic
yes.
of abortion rights, woman's
yes.
rights, all of these
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
And really, for people who do go to Mass, we maybe get 5-10 minutes on a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
And very often, people would say to me, and it's been my experience, that we're not really being equipped and informed about the reality of what you've just said.
Yes.
And the reason we're talking is because of a very powerful homily that you give on Sunday when we heard this message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, it's a good question. What is going on? Because we who are responsible and charged with the preaching of the Word of God and to bear witness to the truth and safeguarding God's truth, we have a grave responsibility, priests, to preach the message, whether it is welcome or unwelcome, and whether it's wanted, people want to hear it or not, doesn't matter. We have to proclaim it and insist upon it, as St. Paul says, in season and out of season. So there's no excuse. I don't know. I can only speak for myself. I would never shirk that responsibility. And on Sunday, the gospel was, who is my neighbour? The Good Samaritan. And I identified that the unborn child is also our neighbour, and that we cannot ignore, walk past, the turn a blind eye to what is going to be, what is happening, what is intended to happen to our young unborn neighbours in the womb, and who are part of us, who are human beings like us. And the Lord will require his flock at our hand, as it says in the prophet Ezekiel, I shall require my flock at your hand, at the hands of the shepherds. And the shepherds must be faithful shepherds. They must preach the word of the shepherd, the good shepherd. They have to proclaim his word. And it will not be popular by any means, but that doesn't matter. That's irrelevant. Yeah.
This is Celtic Connections and a conversation with Belfast priest Father Patrick McCafferty. And he's speaking about the current pro-life crisis in Northern Ireland.
Well, Father, you know, when we think of Matthew 25, whatever you do to the least of these, and for us to come along and say, well, we didn't defend Christ present in the least of these, and to think that that's some sort of excuse, you know, that we didn't, wasn't a black and white issue, as some of the priests have said in the Association of Catholic Priests.
Don't they're a disgrace.
Yeah,
they're
because
disgrace.
They said it was not a black and white issue. They're, now, to present yourself to Christ and say that, you're in danger of him saying, well, I don't know you.
Very, very
go
much
away
so.
From me.
Very much so. Very
and,
much so.
And often I think priests maybe don't preach about this. Like, you tell me if there's a formation in this. But I remember one priest saying, priests don't, because they're afraid of offending someone, maybe has had an abortion or their relative. And whereas he has the solution to that woman who's suffering. And the solution is Christ.
Yes.
And he's not speaking and giving her the solution. No. So the silence doesn't interpret itself.
No.
Father
no.
doesn't. No, doesn't care about my suffering, or there's no redemption for me. And the priest said this, that when he speaks about it, he says, look, I'm going to speak about a difficult issue here, a life issue, and I know there's children and families here, so I'm going to be sensitive the way I speak. But I want you to pray for me that everything I say draws everyone in this parish to this altar.
Yes.
And there's ways of doing it.
There
but
is.
Often they think, oh, I can't say anything.
Yes, of course.
And the very thing they need to hear he's got is Christ.
Yes.
And he won't give.
You need the pastoral skills, and you will only get the pastoral skills by being close to the shepherd who teaches the skills.
The good
and,
shepherd.
Yeah, and then helps you what to do, to speak the truth and to do it in a way that will heal and in a way that will challenge. Because as you say rightly, there are people who have suffered this abortion, who have had abortions, who are traumatized by it. The answer for them is to turn to him, and he will take away all their pain. He will forgive them, he will release them, and he will heal them. So the solution is to preach him, his mercy, his healing, his love. It's not condemnation. That we're not condemning anybody.
Yeah.
Never. A person who's had an abortion, you're not condemning them, but you are pointing them to the reality. We're talking about the act always, the sin, the evil, the crime. It is what it is, and nobody can change that. And you have all these ones today saying it's not a black and white issue and you have to be this or that and the other. You have to be faithful to the truth, and you can be faithful to the truth and also gentle with people who are hurt. I know it from my own ministry.
Yeah.
I've never hurt anybody in that way, and I wouldn't. And they would know that they can come and that they will be released immediately from their burden, immediately.
Yeah.
And there's no hoops to jump through. The Lord takes it away and he forgives it and it's gone, and then he will heal them.
Yeah, because the very women themselves are so often victims
of
lies that have been in circumstances. And
desperation
and
panic.
Yeah,
I don't think in my ministry I have ever met anybody who was glad they had an abortion or deliberately, and the Lord sees...
Or wish they'd had an abortion when they've had the child, or the disabled child.
Exactly. And the Lord, you see, would never condemn. He doesn't condemn people. He forgives them. He forgives them.
That's right. And it's interesting, our Lord had choice words for hypocrites.
Even
those who sat in the seat of Moses, you know, your whitewashed tombs, your father the devil.
Exactly.
The three people we know of that are, would be in modern days sort of sexually active, the woman at the well, the adulterous woman, the woman in Simeon's house, it was entirely different. Our Lord's approach to folks, the women like that had been wounded by life.
Exactly. And they will accuse us of being misogynistic and anti-woman, which is utter lie. And they are built, all of their arguments are founded upon lies. I identified three particularly pernicious and unholy trinity of diabolical lies spawned in hell. And that is the healthcare, the choice, and my body. All lies.
Unwrap those for us a little bit, Father, like you did in your homily.
Abortion is not healthcare. It's the opposite of healthcare, number one. My choice. You don't have the choice. No one has to destroy an innocent life. Your choice is what you'll have in the restaurant or what shirt you're going to wear or whatever, or go on holiday, wherever. You don't have the choice to kill an innocent person. And the my body business, it's not, I mean, you can't go down into the casualty department of a hospital and say, I want my arm amputated. It's my body. I'll do what I like with it. They will section you as a danger to yourself. And the child's body is not the woman's body. That's a lie. It's not her body. It's the child's body.
The woman hasn't got two brains or two hearts or a different blood group.
Utterly separate. Exactly. And the child's body has its own integrity. The child has his and her own rights as much as anyone has. And they have what they have done by repealing the Eighth Amendment, for example, what they're trying to try to do here. They're going to legalize killing. That's what they do. They legalize killing. Killing remains what it is, evil. Murder is murder. And they simply legalize it in certain circumstances. Right.
And another one you brought up was, well, you know, if you don't want to have an abortion, don't have one. I would never beat my children, but if my next door neighbor wants to beat his, well, that's his choice. And Father, you know, people have heard me say this before, but I interviewed a couple of girls coming off the World Meeting of Families in their late 20s. One of them said, oh, it's fantastic. Loved seeing the Pope. My parents and grandparents saw him in 79. I go to Mass once a month myself, she says. So I turned off the mic and I asked him, you know, can I ask you a question? You have to answer. How did you vote in the referendum? They said, oh, we both voted yes. I said, now these are Catholics, practicing to some degree. Why did you vote yes? Oh, these women have difficult situations and we're exporting our problem. And then we had a little chat. You know how many babies are aborted in Britain every day? You know, 500, over 90% Down syndrome. And we're not importing British-style law into Ireland to solve our problem. It's like everything's turned on its head.
Those poor people who would say that, who voted for that, who think they're Catholic, have committed a grave sin.
Yeah.
And they need to repent of it and come back to the Lord for
and
his
Bishop
forgiveness.
And Bishop Doran, I
reminded him. He was 100% right.
That's right.
Yes.
He said that people need to go to confession.
They do.
And thanks be to God, these girls, they were coming off from the Pope, so there was an openness.
Yes.
It wasn't like a cantankerous debate.
I know.
They just hadn't thought it through. As many people don't.
A lot of people
didn't.
And
many people don't hear. You know, we have the government, the state agencies in the Republic, the media 24/7, the education establishments, and they're all talking this propaganda.
The only agency
of consequence that is speaking another view, the truth, is the church.
Yes.
And very often, we're simply not hearing
from the pulpit. And the church, in some ways, because of what has happened in Ireland and the scandals, the church is muted its voice. But that has to stop. The scandals are what they are. We know well, evil that they were. That can't compromise us on the truth.
Yeah.
We have to still fearlessly preach
the truth.
Yeah,
because the church has always had Judases.
Always.
And always had conflicts. And
we've always had the weeds.
The most dreadful. As Father Benedict Rochelle, the worst thing that the church ever came through was the treachery of Judas. And we survived that.
Yeah, exactly. And
11 men who scarpered.
Exactly.
And denied him and everything else. Father Paddy McCafferty, thank you.
You're listening to Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Celtic Connections is the only show made in the UK or Ireland with the Catholic view of what's happening in Great Britain, Ireland and across Europe. Stay tuned for more Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott.
On the day that the Irish referendum was passed, legalizing the killing of children in Ireland, there was a spectacle of dancing and celebration outside the Irish government buildings in Dublin. And the two Sinn Féin political party leaders, Mary Lou MacDonald from the south and Michelle O'Neill from the north, held up a sign, and the sign said this: "The North is next." This was an extraordinary sight, and it shocked right-thinking Irish people everywhere. Irish pro-life leader Bernadette Smith of Precious Life spoke about this spectacle and this sign at the recent Rally for Life in Dublin, the key national event in the pro-life calendar in Ireland. Bernadette was the only speaker who called people to pray for Ireland at the rally. Here's what she said.
Hello, Pro-Life Ireland. It is my great privilege to join you today, to challenge you today, and to unite with you today in this all-Ireland battle to protect the least of the little ones. Today, I want to draw attention to something that happened here last year. Last year, in Ireland, a death threat was issued by two Sinn Féin, very well-known pro-abortion TD and MLA, calling for the bloody scourge of abortion to be unleashed in the north of Ireland. Today, I want to say, and I want you to join me as we say together, the north is not next. The north is not next. And we say today, the north protects. The north protects its most vulnerable citizens. And the north is the only part of Ireland and is the only part of the UK which is safe for little baby boys and girls. Following this death threat, these two bloodthirsty women made their way to Westminster to make a plea to a number of British MPs to do their dirty work. That plea was to force abortion right up to the moment of birth in Northern Ireland by a government that this party doesn't even acknowledge nor recognise. The word that comes to the forefront of my mind is hypocrites, hypocrisy. How dare these women who call themselves leaders in a Catholic Ireland go to Westminster and plead with British MPs to bring in British abortionists to kill Irish children. Hypocrites! But we are here today, and we are the fighting Irish. We are the fighting Irish. And we are here today at the All-Ireland Rally for Life to be a voice for the future children of Ireland North and South. And while we are still heartbroken about the tragic result of the Irish abortion referendum, and while I stand here with a heavy heart, knowing that where we lay our feet today, in Ireland, babies' lives are being snuffed out. Babies' lives are being flushed down toilets and disregard it as rubbish. So it is with a heavy heart that I stand here, but it's also with a fighting spirit that we will not take this lying down, that we are here today to regroup, and it's time to throw off the apathy and despair that the enemies of life have sown throughout this land. And I know that many people are still in shock and badly affected since we lost the battle last May. But that doesn't mean that we're taking it lying down. That doesn't mean we're going to roll over. That doesn't mean the war is over. In fact, the war has just begun. And we won't lose. We will only only lose if we give up. If we do nothing, we will lose. But I know that you people here today are not giving up. You have reorganized yourself. You have come back fighting. And we must continue to fight until every single little boy and girl in their mother's womb is protected from the terrible scourge and horror and evil of abortion. Today in Dublin, we declare that we are a voice of those who have no voice, that we are the voice of the most weakest of the weak, that we are the voice of the babies who, if they could speak, would cry out to us, please, please don't give up. Please stay strong. Please work harder. Please replace the anti-life and anti-baby politicians in your government who have enacted laws that threaten us daily with murder. Please continue to be our voice. And today, after this event, I will, with others, make my way to Hollow Street Hospital to pray, to join a rosary procession, because without prayer, we are destined to lose. But with prayer and God on our side, we will turn Ireland back to life.
This is Celtic Connections, and you're listening to pro-life campaigner Bernadette Smith speaking at the recent Rally for Life in Dublin.
It has been nearly 23 years since I became aware of the horror of abortion. But I knew the moment that I looked into the face of an image of a little baby who had been mutilated and whose little life was brutally ended by an evil abortionist, that my life was never going to be the same. And I decided there and then to commit my life to stopping and ending the murder of my little brothers and sisters in the womb. And I know that many people here today feel the same as I do. At that moment, I heard the silent scream of that little boy who spoke to me in that image. And it was like his face was pleading with me to do something. And I did. And I formed Precious Life. And we are gathered here today with many people like me. Many people, you are people of great integrity. You are people of hope and people who are willing to stand up and fight and support and stand with these little babies, even if it means to give your life for this great cause. And after 23 years, the horrors that are being exposed to this world must make us lose sleep. But they also must make us become more steadfast. 66 little babies, little baby boys and girls, were born alive in British hospitals and left to die crying, where no one heard their voice. 66 little babies that no one cared about because the British government stands by the death of over 200,000 little babies. They stand by their death and they have blood on their hands. But we don't have blood on our hands because we are fighting. We are fighting back and we will continue to fight back. So we will regroup today and we will rise united and we will save these babies from the horror of abortion. And we will turn this horrible, rotten government back to life. And we will enact laws for our future that will protect and cherish every single little baby boy and girl. This Fight Back campaign will be written in future history books. A Fight Back campaign that will not rest until we see the end of this bloody Holocaust that claims the lives of over 55 million little babies every year throughout the world. So we're not on our own. We are part of a worldwide movement that loves those little babies, that hears their cries day in and day out. Today and every day, we will show the world that Ireland is fighting back and that we haven't gone away and that we're not giving up. So I say today, as I finish, the battle isn't over until every unborn child, north and south, is protected. And we see the murder and the bloody murder of innocent children in the same way history has showed us slavery and how we ended slavery in the Holocaust. And every generation and this generation will work and we will pray and we will live and we ask God that we will see the end of abortion in Ireland in our lifetime. So I end today with a challenge to everyone. We need to pray big, we need to think big, and we need to believe big. Today, we will declare that God Almighty is bigger than the battle. And with him on our side, we will win the war against the little ones, against the major forces that want to unleash blood on our streets. And we will bring Ireland back to life. And the people of Ireland said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everybody. God bless you all.
Dr. Trevor Hayes, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist from St. Luke's Hospital in Kilkenny, one of the hospitals that has been ordered by the Irish government to implement the liberal abortion regime, was also a keynote speaker at the Rally for Life in Dublin. And Dr. Hayes spoke about the plight of Irish doctors in light of the Irish government's imposition of abortion in Ireland.
My name is Dr. Trevor Hayes. I'm an obstetrician in St. Luke's Hospital, Kilkenny. I love my job. I'm an advocate for the unborn, the purest of the pure, the most innocent. Last month, we informed the GPs in the area and the HSC that we will be not performing abortions in St. Luke's Hospital. All four consultant obstetricians in the hospital decided unanimously that the hospital is not an appropriate location for medical or surgical terminations. A great many of my colleagues are unwilling to perform surgical abortions, and they will say they will not be forced to carry out this life-ending procedure. Would the politicians who so vehemently insist that we must perform abortions be willing to carry out one themselves? Would they avulse limb from limb and crush a baby's head and call it healthcare? Would they undertake the horrific task of ending the life of a living, growing human being? I suspect not. But they want us, and they want to force doctors like me to do so. And that's not going to happen. Would the GPs who are attacking pro-life obstetricians on Twitter perform a late-term surgical abortion? Again, I suspect most of them would not. So why are they trying to force other people to be involved in something so repugnant to those of us who adhere to the first principle of medicine, which is do no harm? Shame on them for failing to respect the conscientious rights of their colleagues in medicine. But we won't be bullied by them either.
This is Celtic Connections, and you're listening to Dr. Trevor Hayes, a consultant obstetrician and gynecologist from St. Luke's Hospital, Kilkenny. And Dr. Hayes is speaking about the plight of Irish doctors in light of the Irish government's imposition of abortion in Ireland.
I got into medicine to help mothers and babies and to save lives. I will not be forced and bullied by politicians or by the media into performing or facilitating abortions. Every other day, I have the privilege to witness birth. I can see true love when a mother delivers her baby and her partner gaze into that child's eye. That is love and peace. The truth is, the government has tried to trample on the rights of medical professionals who conscientiously object to taking part in abortions. This is a form of bullying that is absolutely unacceptable, because a person's conscience is not subject to majority rule. Let me be clear, I will not take a caress to a helpless child in the womb, and nobody can make me do so. And there are hundreds, if not thousands, of doctors, nurses, midwives, pharmacists who feel the same. In fact, 85% of GPs do not believe that abortion should be part of general practice. And 80% of GPs say they will not participate in providing abortion as part of general practice. Abortion services were forced on GP services without consultation. But that's how Simon Harris operates, even as the health service falls deeper and deeper into crisis. No doctor has any objection to provide life-saving medical treatment to a pregnant woman. But abortion is not life-saving. It is life-ending. It is not healthcare, and no amount of spin can make it healthcare. When St. Luke's confirmed abortions would not be carried out in our hospital, abortion supporters were furious, and this prompted our health minister, Simon Harris, to enthusiastically tweet that he was on it. Keyboard warrior. Almost every doctor in the country would agree that we wish Mr. Harris had the same enthusiasm to drive in addressing the serious, never-ending, life-threatening crisis that has developed in the health service on his watch. There are 500,000 people on waiting lists to see a consultant, with a staggering 1 million people on hospital appointment waiting list. 30,000 women are waiting to see a gynaecologist, and thousands of children cannot get the mental health services they need. Yet the media gives Simon Harris a free pass because he endlessly tweets about abortion. The tragic death of Savita Halvanar from mismanagement of sepsis was exploited by the campaigners to repeal the aid. The truth is that women's lives are in danger right now on Leo Varadkar and Simon Harris's watch because our health services are underfunded, under-resourced and understaffed. This is what Simon Harris needs to be dealing with instead of obsessing with abortion, a procedure which helps no one and takes the life of a child. Instead, he's trying to bully good men and women to get involved in abortion against their conscience. If this means that nurses and doctors and other medical professionals are forced out of medicine, this will only add to the staffing crisis already crippling the health service. But that outcome will be caused not by pro-life doctors or nurses, but by Simon Harris and his government. We will not be bullied into taking the life of an innocent child. We won't be bullied, and we will stand together and support each other. And as we continue to do what we've got to go into medicine, protect and serve both mother and child. Thank you.
We end our pro-life report with an invocation to prayer from Bishop John Keenan of Paisley, Scotland. Bishop John was the keynote speaker at the recent March for Life in London, and you will hear him speaking over the din of pro-abortion advocates protesting in the background. He begins by reminding us of the kind of battle we are engaged in when it comes to abortion.
We're not primarily in a political, social battle, I think. We are in a spiritual battle. If you wouldn't mind, I want to see now this act of national reparation for the sin of abortion. And I know the grass is wet. If some of you want to kneel down, please do so. And I'm very glad to say that, as well as bringing my greetings from Scotland, I've also brought you Scottish weather. And let's just say this prayer in your hearts. Merciful Jesus, we bring before you our nations, England, Wales, Scotland, Northern Ireland, ashamed to call to mind 50 years of legalised abortion in our land. Millions of unborn have perished in this evil legislation. Mothers have been misled and confused. Countless more plunged into misery and distress through abortion's traumatic effects. We come before you asking forgiveness and healing. Cleanse our land of the culture of death and unbelief, and renew us in a culture of life, faith and peace. Have mercy upon every man and woman in this land, those who intentionally sinned against life, those who in distress did not know what they did, those who failed to offer support and love when it was needed most. Lord, none of us is without sin. We have all failed you in many ways. Have mercy upon us. Forgive us. Reconcile mothers and fathers with their unborn children. Heal their grief, their guilt and their sorrow. Heal our society of the trauma of abortion, the spiritual enemy destroying marriages, families and children that seeks to devour our nation and our world. Saviour of the world, Lord Jesus Christ, we entrust this solemn plea to you and implore your mercy and intervention. We unite ourselves with your mercy and join our sufferings with your holy cross, placing them in the treasury of the church for the salvation of every soul. We ask this through the powerful intercession of Our Lady of Mercy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And I invite you to say this prayer together. And as we do so, we ask that God bless you, God bless our nations, God bless the pro-life movement, and God bless every man and woman and child in our nations. Let us pray. O God, creator of all things, you who breathed over the waters at the dawn of creation and brought forth all living beings, you who filled the apostles when you breathed on them on the first Easter night, give them the power to restore life to those dead in sin. Come, come and breathe in our world again, immersed as it is in the culture of death. Come, O Lord and giver of life, defeat the works of death in our midst, that abortion may no longer stain our land. We worship you and we rejoice in you. We know that no matter how strong the forces of death may be, we can still find in you the endless source of life. Renew that life in each of us and make us worthy apostles of the culture of life in our day. Amen. God bless you all.
That was Scottish Bishop John Keenan speaking at the recent National March for Life in London. The pro-life battle, as St. Paul reminds us in Ephesians, is not a battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against what St. Paul describes as the spiritual wickedness and evil in the spiritual realm. I want to invite you to engage with us in Ireland in this battle. And there's a very powerful way you can do that, no matter how old or young you are, or no matter what your state in life. And that is by joining us in the Rosary. Praying the Rosary every day, and including Ireland and the unborn of Ireland in that prayer. And this is something that so many of us are doing in Ireland, something that Our Lady has asked everyone to do every day. As well as prayer, artists are using their talents to speak out for Ireland. And this comes from a very long tradition in our country. So I have two songs for you to hear. We begin with a song by Belfast singer-songwriter Paul Kyle. And this is really a story in a song, and it's called Easy Solutions.
Well, I heard of a boy who meant well, found a butterfly trying to be. A cocoon had enfolded, entangled and scolded, this prisoner bound to be free. So the boy brought relief to its hell, and then watched thinking all would be well. But the beauty just lay there, like dust in the clay there, no story of glory to tell. With one wave of his hand, and one breath from his mouth, in one look from his eye he had come. But that foolish young boy, to know better than God, stopped a life before it had begun. Well, the boy became a man who meant well, found a girl with a child by a whim. Now cocoon she was smothering, I'm too young to be mothering this new life that's forming within. So the man brought relief to this thought, and then watched the poor girl still distraught. Now no heart beats within me, what a lie did you spin me? Oh God, you just tore me apart. With one wave of his hand, and one breath from his mouth, and one look from his eye, he had come. But that foolish young man, to know better than God, stopped a life before it had begun. All my life I have tried to escape, to break free from this body of sin. This cocoon which enfolds me, entangles and scolds me, this prison of mortal chagrin. I tried easy solutions to find, but they never brought me peace of mind. How I cursed and I swore, now I cry myself sore. It's my turn to step up to the light. With one wave of his hand, one breath from his mouth, and one look from his eye, he will come. Say, you foolish old man, to know better than God, stopping life before it had begun. 'Cause I've traveled this world, seeking souls of the poor, and I think that you now must agree. There's a dead butterfly, a dead mother and child, but the poorest of all must be thee. The fire has consumed all your darkness and gloom, and it's love alone that's left behind. With one wave of my hand, and one breath from my mouth, and one look from my eye, I say come. Now your foolishness gone, come and join heaven's song, and start living. Thank you.
That was Paul Kyle singing his song called Easy Solutions. This next song is by Irish singer-songwriter Joyce Higgins. It's a haunting song called Treebeard, and it's inspired by a character in J.R. Tolkien's novel Lord of the Rings.
Hum, hum, you must stand up and do something. You can't sit back and do nothing. Your roots are deeper than my needs. You're reaching
I'm Kathy Sinnott, and this has been Celtic Connections. Please pray the rosary every day for life. God bless.
You have been listening to Celtic Connections with Cathy Sinnott. Join Cathy Sinnott next time for more Celtic Connections.